With the roster finalized, it's time to take a deep dive on the Tigers. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and today we have a full roster to break down and really get into of how they're going to work together, why this team is going to hopefully propel Coach Stephen Pearl in his second year leading the program back into the NCAA tournament and into SEC championship contention. As always, make sure you are subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube, where you can hit the like button as well. If you love this content and are ready to dive into basketball season when we get to that point, as well as Auburn football, Auburn baseball going on, we've got all that content covered right here as well. And then go over to your podcast platform of choice and hit the subscribe button there as well. As Montez Roustavicius has committed to Auburn to play what we expect to be his final year and only year of college basketball, that was kind of what held it up, was the eligibility and getting everything signed off. And that's why the commitment was held off, and it has not officially been announced by Auburn. So I guess technically the signing hasn't happened yet, but he is committed to play for the Tigers 2026 to 2027. And this is a huge addition for Auburn, as it needed this final position to be ready for this season, to join Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, who are returning for next season, and then joining the likes of Thomas Dowd, Narcisse Ngoi, Buki Oboye, George Kimball III, Adam Olsen, Owen Freeman, all of those guys who are transferring in or joining also from the international ranks. And that's what Roustavicius does alongside Narcisse Ngoi, both two guys that are from overseas. And that's going to be obviously a factor for years to come. We've talked in depth about whether you want to call it a problem or not with college basketball and everything with NIL, the transfer portal, and everything that goes into it. These guys that are older and they're coming to college basketball, call it whatever you want, but it's what you got to do to keep up with everything in college athletics. And you go and look at what Illinois did last year. That was a roster that was significantly impacted by overseas transfers, and they made it to the Final Four and were one of the best teams in the Big Ten a season ago. So it's not something you should shy away from. It's something that you should embrace and make it work to your advantage. And that's what Stephen Pearl, it's what Brian Clohman, and the rest of the staff have done as it builds this roster up for next season, looking to return to the NCAA tournament, looking to return to SEC championship caliber basketball. Obviously, Auburn showed flashes of that this past season in the first year under Coach Pearl, but it was quickly derailed by what was, I think, a six-game losing streak in late January to early February, and ultimately was the reason why Auburn didn't make the big dance a year ago. And that's something that is obviously still going to be at the forefront of the staff's mind, Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, especially being the two guys that are returning alongside Simon Walker. And they want to lead Auburn back to the expectations that this fan base and really the rest of the nation at this point have for the Tigers. The rest of the nation was put on notice back in 2019 when the Tigers made the Final Four, and then they certainly established themselves in 2025 with the second Final Four appearance in program history. So with all that being said, I want to talk about what this team really, what Montez brings to the table, where I see strengths and weaknesses for this team this next season, and then what I've kind of hinted at, what I want to really discuss over the last couple of episodes and weeks, is some comments Coach Pearl has made, whether it's at his ambush event. We're going to reference Justin Ferguson's awesome sit down with Coach Pearl on the Auburn Observer. There was a really, really interesting couple of quotes that I want to excerpt from there and break down in detail. And it all circles back to culture and what this program has built up to be, because prior to Bruce Pearl, the culture was not there. There wasn't much of one, if any, but now that's not the case. And now we talk about how Steven's not his dad, but there are aspects to what his father built that obviously need to be implemented year in and year out, because that's Auburn now, and it is what it is. So let's talk basketball first. On the court, what are we going to see from Montez Rubštavičius? And I've finally figured out the pronunciation there to say it smoothly, but I think he is going to compliment Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton well. I think obviously you want him to compliment the whole team well, but I think especially those guards right there, he is going to help out, because he is going to really space the floor and create with his movement without the basketball. And he is a great shooter, and he does slash a little bit. He shoots first, slashes second, but I think that's something that Auburn needed last year, was an elite three-point shooter. And I just think that it's something that Auburn maybe hasn't had over the last 2 years, with the exception of Miles Kelly. Miles Kelly was obviously as elite as it gets with three-point shooting. And Tahad Pettiford was that at times in his freshman year, but then dropped off relatively significantly this past year. And Rubštavičius can bring that. Kevin Overton can bring that. And while Overton might not have been as consistent a year ago, I think that's something that he can grow into and be that, because he's going into his senior year, very similar to, I mentioned Miles Kelly. Miles Kelly's year at Auburn was his final year of college basketball, his fourth year. And I think Kevin Overton kind of getting familiar with the system, that can help him a lot. So Montez, the thing that's going to really help, again, these guards, is how he moves around without the basketball and how he creates space on the floor. Because now these guards are either A, going to be able to create on their own and use their dribbling skills to their ability, which is something that I don't feel like Tahad Pettiford was able to do as much last year. And that's something that he just has to be able to do to be the successful player that he was his freshman year. And then Kevin Overton, a similar deal. He's less of that, but he definitely likes to create on his own. So when you've got Montez running around like crazy, then it's going to create some havoc on the defensive end of your opponent. And that's going to help quite a lot with those two guys. And then B, and then it opens up the lane. It opens up the paint for Narcisse Ngoi and Thomas Dowd and Buki Oboye and Owen Freeman and Adam Olsen. I think he's more like Montez in the aspect that he's going to be a sharpshooter, but he's tall enough to get down low and bang a little bit. So all those guys, they're going to have to be the ones that are in the paint, working their men and doing things that maybe we didn't see as much last year because of the lack of size that team had. That is not going to be the case this year. And if you want to talk strengths and weaknesses, let's go ahead and talk about that. Is the strength of this team is going to be how tall it is and how big it is. It's almost like this staff looked at Michigan, win the national championship, and obviously lost to them back in November by a significant margin. So you know what? That we need to be at least close to that big. We can't be the size we are and be successful in this era of college basketball. So they went out and got Narcisse Ngoi, who is 7'0". You got Buki Oboye, who's 7'1". Owen Freeman is 6'10". And then your combo guys, Montez is, I think he's listed at 6'7". I'll have to double check that. He might be more like 6'6", but regardless, he is that combo. He plays like a guard, but he has the size to get down low and use his athletic ability to do that. So regardless of what he's listed, he's listed at 6'7". And that might mean he's 6'6", but if he's got the wingspan that a lot of these basketball players have, then he might play like he's 6'8". And that's going to be critical. And then that goes down to Thomas Dowd, who is 6'8". Adam Olsen is 6'8". Both of those guys are tall and lanky and can play like guards, but also are able to use their size to their advantage whenever they might get a mismatch or something like that. So that's all in all to say, size is going to matter. Now Tahad goes back to being like the smallest guy on the team, and it's obvious. That's what it needs to be like. 6'1 point guard, that works. That's fine. But he needs to be the smallest guy on the floor at all times. And that will be the case with a 6'5 Kevin Overton, a 6'7 Montas Rupstavicius, and a 6'8 Thomas Dowd at the wing and four spots. And then obviously, whatever 7-footer you plug in at the center spot between Ngoy and Oboye, that is going to be more of a prototypical size advantage that you see from some of these successful teams like Florida in the SEC and then Michigan and on the national stage at the Final Four. And then, yeah, like I said, you plug in Owen Freeman at the four spot whenever Dowd needs a rest and a breather. And then Oboye can probably play a little bit of the four spot. You can play that double big that we referenced a few weeks ago between Ngoy and Oboye, similar to Jahni Broome and Dylan Carwell. This would be even a taller duo than those two guys were. So with all that being said, that's what Rupstavicius is going to bring to the table, is really I don't want to say prototypical European style of basketball, but it a little bit is in the aspect that he relies on ball movement and the way he moves without the ball. Now, from what I've seen, I mean, he's just flying around and running around sometimes, and it's catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot. So that can be a little chaotic at times, and maybe that'll be something that needs to be solved early in the season. Then just kind of depends on how these guys play together, but who knows? We'll see. That might be something that helps Todd Pettiford and KO create and get the ball down low, or let them find an open shot, whether that's driving the lane or kicking it out for a three. And then Montas, whether he's scoring from deep or whether he's slashing to the basket, it's all going to be a good thing for Auburn. So, diving into the strengths and weaknesses, I mentioned the first strength, and that's the size of this team, the height specifically. And what that's going to do is lead to, hopefully, mismatches that Auburn can exploit with your dynamic guards in Kevin Overton and Tahad Pettiford. Those guys are going to be able to dump it down low, let them go to work, and then who knows, that opens up a three, or your big guy is just good enough to lay it in or dunk it. And that's not just Ngoy, that's not just Oboye, that's not just Freeman. That goes for Thomas Dowd, that goes for Adam Olsen. Whether they're 6'8", 6'7", or 7 foot, those guys are tall enough to be factored into that. And that's why I think when you go into it, you have the elite 3-point shooting from Tahad Pettiford, Kevin Overton, Montas Rupstavicius, and then Adam Olsen and Thomas Dowd, you know, can shoot three as well. George Kimball III, he's a volume shooter, but he does shoot the ball well. So all those guys, add it all up. And hey, heaven forbid, Simon Walker, Caleb Williams, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to shoot the ball well. So if they're able to come along and be a factor, then you've got your sharp shooters there. And that's how you open it up down low and let Narcisse Ngoy and Buki Oboye and Owen Freeman go to work. And it sounds so obvious. It sounds so easy. But when you're playing these teams like Florida that have Ruben Chinyelu and Alex Condon and Micah Hanlogden, who they're all so tall and big and athletic, then that's where you have to be able to play inside out. You've got to be a threat on the block, in the paint, as well as on the perimeter. And if you're not, then it's easy for your opponent to exploit you and get things done. And another strength, I think, is just now you have two returners three if you count Simon Walker. He just obviously he didn't play very many minutes last year. But Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, who are going to have to step up as vocal leaders. It's as simple as that. They have to be the ones that look at George Kimball III. They look at Thomas Dowell. They look at Montez Rupstavicius. They look at Narcisse Ngoi and so on and so on and say, this is Auburn basketball. This is how things are done. This is the expectation. And this is how we're going to execute it. And I think KO is going to be more vocal than Tahad Pettiford. This is just from being around the team during shoot arounds and things like that. It's obvious that Tahad's leadership is by example. He do as he does, don't do as he says, and it's because he's not going to say as much. And I think that's a good thing because KO is the one that will talk and get into it. Now, with all that being said, someone else is going to have to, you can't just have two guys be that way. You're going to have someone develop, whether that's one of your in-state kids in Thomas Dowd or Adam Olson, who transferred from Troy in South Alabama. They know what it means down here in Alabama with no pro sports or anything. It's everything. If you're at a school like Auburn or Troy or South Alabama, that's what matters to everyone. So whether it's them or an Owen Freeman who's seen a lot through his career with injury, being a freshman of the year in the Big Ten. He's played at high major schools throughout his career at Iowa and Creighton. Doesn't matter. Someone's going to have to step up and be that way as well as the new guy on the block. And that really matters in the aspect that you saw it in the NIT when this team locked in and was ready to go, that they looked really good and were efficient and got the job done. It wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. We know that team last year had its faults, had its issues, but they made it work. It was a do or die tournament and they never died. They continue to survive in advance, and that's the key. And that's going to have to be the mentality next year when you get into SEC play. Yeah, you're going to lose games. I say this now, and obviously when you get to the middle of January and you've lost a game or two, and it's, don't panic, but the mentality should still be like, hey, survive in advance. You keep winning, it's fine to lose one. Look, if you win, think about it this way. If you win two out of every three games, you're going to go 12-6 and be top four seed in the SEC tournament. You take that. So, like, let's just do the math there. Like that's a good thing. And these guys now understand, specifically Tahad and KO, of what it takes in the SEC, especially Tahad seeing the highs and the lows, really all of it, in his time at Auburn with the SEC champion, clinching an SEC championship with a week to spare, and then going on what was a 2.5 week losing streak this past season. So he, like I said, he has seen it all. And then, all right, weaknesses. What do I see as potentially things that could hold back Auburn this upcoming year? Well, I do think maybe athleticism could be something. It's not going to be up with the standards of some of the best SEC teams that have these five-star high school guys coming in. But I don't think, I'll call it technically a weakness, but it's not going to be something that it's going to be highlighted by others, I think. But I don't think it's really something to be too concerned about, because I think the shooting will be there. And I think the real key here is the experience. And that's because you've got two European guys coming over. You've got three mid-majors in Dowd, Olson, make it four, Oboye, and then Kimball III. And then you've got Owen Freeman, who has been on high major teams, and then obviously the returners. So these guys have, most of this roster has not seen what it takes in the SEC, has not seen what it takes to get to the NCAA tournament. Now, Oboye was in the NCAA tournament with Santa Clara, and Owen Freeman was on some good teams, albeit injured the last couple of years. And then Thomas Dowd also made the NCAA tournament with Troy, won the Sun Belt Conference Tournament MVP, was first team All Sun Belt. He's probably ready for showtime. But it's still always going to be shocking the first time you get out there and you're facing a five-star that's going to be a top five pick in the NBA draft the upcoming summer. So those are all things that it's going to be shocking no matter what for some of these guys, but it's going to be critical for them to make the adjustment as the games go on. And by the time mid-January or February maybe come along, it needs to be second nature of who you're playing and the opponents that you're going up against. So I really think that's kind of the key for me. I do think that your front court, again, you're looking at, I think Opoye is your most proven guy in the aspect he did it in a conference that is a multi-bid league year in and year out. So he's going to be able to probably have his way earlier than maybe Ngoy, just because Ngoy comes from overseas in a league that probably wasn't as good as some of your better conferences in college basketball. So that's where I see. And the experience will come. And if these guys are as talented as we expect them to be, then that will be something that is easier for them to overcome than maybe some other athletes. So that's where I look at is the biggest strengths and the biggest weaknesses. And now it leads into something with culture. And culture is something that can overcome experience or quite frankly, a lot of weaknesses that any team could possibly have. And that leads me to my point. Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer, subscribe at auburnobserver.com. He had a one-on-one sit-down with Stephen Pearl last week, and I thought there was such an interesting couple of quotes, because one, we'll start right here. So the question was, not trying to diminish last year's team and last year's roster, but how much more confidence do you have in the build that you have for next season? Like, how much closer to your overall vision have you been able to get? The answer from Coach Pearl: I think as far as what we're going to look like, it definitely looks more like it has in years past. I will say that we were confident going into last year too. I think one of the biggest things was we were too young last year. We had 9 underclassmen. This year we're a lot older. We're a lot bigger and a lot older, which were two things we had to plug up right away. And I think we got a little more shooting this year, which was important. And then later on in the Q&A, it goes on, kind of a large question here, but year one for you as a head coach, what's the biggest thing that you can look back and feel like you've learned the most from this past season? Steven goes on to answer, I've been asked that question every time I've sat down, and I have no idea how to answer it because there's a lot of things you can point to. The one that's most relevant right now is just how I want to build my roster. That's one of the biggest things that I learned. I love the relationships I built with this past team. I love the effort that they gave me, considering the circumstances around me becoming the head coach. I think we did a lot of great things this year. We obviously felt short, but we had some great wins, and we ended up winning a postseason championship. But for me, we had to look back at what some of our previous teams were from, not a character standpoint, but a characteristic standpoint. It's having more guys like Dylan Cardwell, Chaney Johnson, Denver Jones, Jared Harper, Horace Spencer, those types of solids. We needed more of that, I thought. And that's one of the biggest things I learned. I need more guys like Thomas Dowd. I need more guys like George Kimball. I need more guys like Buki Oboye. I need more guys like Owen Freeman. I need more guys who are a little more solid in their approach and that are about the right thing. And he goes on to say, hey, look, last year's team, you know, he's not saying it wasn't that. It didn't work out that way. And that's end quote. Stephen Pearl speaking with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. It's a great sit down. It's a two-parter, actually, with Justin and Stephen, and really a lot of great info there. Go subscribe to the Auburn Observer for that content. But I think one stands out to me. He does mention older. I mentioned the experience and the lack of SEC experience, but they are older, so that means they're mature. And I think that's where the leadership can come from that I mentioned is, all right, you had Tahat and KO that are obviously going to be the forefront, but who is going to step up and be Dylan Cardwell? Who is going to be Denver Jones or Jared Harper? Horace Spencer, that's a heck of a call out from Coach Pearl from that 2019 team. And prior to that, he was a senior on that team and was not the most talented player on that roster by a long shot, but he was the grittiest and he had seen a lot of crap within that program. And he was one of the catalysts for that team making it to that Final Four. So whoever that is, we will learn that when we get to November and we get to December and the months go along during the season. But that's the kind of culture that this program has seen and had success underneath. And it goes from all the way back to 2014 to 2015, Coach Bruce Pearl's first year. Obviously, the first few years in the regular season did not go the way things were planned. But that first SEC tournament, when KT Harrell sparks that huge run by Auburn to the semifinals of the SEC tournament against Kentucky, that set the standard of, look, we're coming in. We might not be the most talented. We might not be, you know, the favorites or anything like that. But even if we are, we're here to win and we're going to make it happen one way or another. Now, obviously, you fast forward a decade and Auburn's the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament and really is the favorite to go on to win the national championship. But again, that team still had that same grit, that same passion. And you go to that Alabama State game in the round of 64. That team that game was ugly. It was not where that team needed to be from a mindset standpoint. It didn't look like it was ready to go against a team that played just 48 hours earlier in the first four in Dayton and had traveled down to Lexington just was completely outmatched by Auburn. But then, of course, there's a story out there. Dylan Cardwell got up and spoke to the team the next day at breakfast and got them to lock in. And that's what the culture's all about, because you have to have someone that the entire team respects to get on up there and speak to the team, to address the team. Because if you don't have that, then how does the team get on track? Because there will be a point where things aren't going well. It's how do you respond and how you address it. There's levels of not going well, obviously. Like we know that. There's, you know, surviving a first round game against the 16 seed. You still won by 20, but you're the number one overall seed. You know you should be playing better than that. That's one level. Then there's a level that we saw last year where Auburn was on that losing streak in February. And things seemed like they were spiraling out of control and there was no chance of making the NCAA tournament. Ultimately, Auburn's the second team left out of the NCAA tournament and didn't quite do enough to get in. So it's how do you respond, whether it's that high level or you've hit rock bottom. How do you respond to that and keep going throughout a season? And I think that from what we are hearing from Coach Pearl is that he really believes that. And he made a concerted effort to build the roster around that. And if that's the case, this team certainly has the potential to do big things this upcoming season. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pinpoint, oh, the expectation is to be an SEC champion or a top two seed in the NCAA tournament or anything like that. But I think it's fair to say we know what the expectations are with this program now. Coach Pearl knows it. Everyone on that staff knows it. That roster knows it. Even being in their first year, a majority of them, that, hey, look, Auburn can compete for SEC titles. They can compete for national titles. So it should probably be right there, close to a top four seed in the SEC tournament, which would also, by way, be a top four seed probably in the NCAA tournament. So that's what I'm looking like. And like I said, at some point we'll do the whole exercise of like, here's the ceiling, here's the floor. But it's just important to remember how you have to get there. And again, we'll get that when we get down the road, and they'll have workouts in June. They'll get back in August and then have preseason practices starting in September. And we'll start to really learn what we're hearing out of camp and everything, who's stepping up, who's standing out, and we think can be the impactful players on this team, and go from there. So we'll have it all broken down for you right here on the Barn Hoops podcast, and we'll have so much more content over these next couple of months, and it's talking season. There will obviously be a slower news cycle. We'll start to get scheduling news, I would imagine, as the time goes on. Football, the times have been released, so I would guess SEC basketball opponents and dates will start to follow behind. That's probably more like July, early August, but still we'll get non-conference opponents prior to that and those dates and everything, and we'll have a full breakdown of the schedule whenever that's finalized. So make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network, and hit the like button if you're on YouTube, or just subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss an update, whether that's about Auburn basketball or Auburn football. Big recruiting news this past weekend, coming off Big Cat weekend, and now they gear up for a slower time of the year, but you're getting into SEC media days, and then obviously fall camp in August, and then Auburn baseball is SEC tournament bound, is 1,000% going to host a regional, and I'm 99% sure is going to host a super regional. Some pundits might have you think differently, but I think they're wrong, and that Auburn baseball is a lock for a top 8 seed and should be a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. But tune in to some of the other shows for the case on that. So again, we'll break different things down as the time goes on and talking season continues, but make sure you're subscribed and you'll get all the updates. But until next time, and as always, I appreciate you tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast.